CBS Makaiza on 702.
For the curious.
Live.
Online.
Smartphones.
DSTV.
And 92.7.
And 106 FM.
7 minutes after 10 o'clock. Thank you so much for your wonderful comments about the open line. I can't possibly read out all of these tweets, but I agree. Some of you praising Michelle's call. Sipo saying, beautiful call. That was truth to power. Wanderlust says, she can call in. She stole my heart. Does that all the time. Another person says, wow, Michelle just got me close to tears. I agree with everything she said, especially the part about respecting domestic workers. I salute her, and I agree with all of your sentiments there. I think what is particularly important about Michelle's call is that the very precise examples that she listed of fairly small ways in which you can make a difference and demonstrate compassion, they do not require you to completely give up all the privileges that you are enjoying in your life, and yet they go some way to demonstrate that you get that you are privileged and that you show compassion towards those who are the victims of years and years of oppression. It is 8 minutes after 10.
Eusebius Makaiza
on 702
for the curious.
Okay, this hour, as promised, we're sitting down with Fikile Mbalula, who's in charge, of course, of the ANC's election effort. And he joins us this hour. You can engage him as well on 011-883-0702. Whenever your name pops into my head, the next word that always pops in is minister. The two just seem to go together. How are you?
No, I'm good. And you, Zimbia?
I'm extremely well. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you for having us, yes.
Okay, so you can also send us your questions. Mbalula with Eusebius is the hashtag we're going to be using. And let's just have a broad conversation about the ANC. I really only have one question, as I said on Twitter. And then we can unravel whatever flows out of that question, Fikile. And the question really is, what reason is there to vote ANC on May the 8th?
You're voting continuity, you're voting experience, you're voting renewal, you're voting acceleration of a social transformation in changing the lives of the people.
I don't want continuity, because continuity brought me the years of state capture. Continuity brought me an economy that is growing at 0.7% with a forecast of only slightly above 1% now, latest revised. Continuity would mean a continued growing gap in the asset, wealth and income inequalities in South Africa. Continuity means more despondent communities like the communities in Alex. So if you promise me continuity, that's an argument to not vote ANC, because continuity with the last 10 years would be a complete disaster, wouldn't it? We need discontinuity.
We need continuity, and it is informed by the fact that in the bad you have explained in terms of the result of what happened in South Africa. It is what we are determined to change. And that change has not started, or is not going to start after the elections. It has begun. It is a continuity that is informed by the fact that we could have moved in a different way, and we are remiss in our approach in certain things. And we accept the criticism, and we have been on the mend in relation to those challenges that we've been faced with.
What is the evidence that you are on the mend?
First, we brought stability in the state organs as the first point of departure. You talk about the police. You talk about the National Prosecuting Authority. And with a beefed up approach with regard to specialized directorate to focus on the important cases that need to be prosecuted and bring those who are found to be on the wrong to book. That is the first thing that we have practically done. We have moved with speed in addressing allegations of corruption, which even include some of our own through the Zondo Commission, as it would have been, proposed by the former public protector. So no qualms about it. We've moved with speed on a whole range of issues in terms of stabilizing the economy, and which was racket, and ensuring that the economy grows at a faster pace in order to create jobs. We have attracted investment in this country. We brought about the stimulus package, and we have had a job summit that makes a serious intervention on a whole range of areas. In the last quarter, we have seen about 85,000 jobs being created. And this is a result of the immediate interventions we are making going forward.
I like you as a person, so I'm engaging you as a politician. Don't take what I'm about to say personally.
Yeah.
You are lying empirically. Almost every one of the things you've just listed as data points in terms of improvement in our society go in the opposite direction to what you are describing. The economy is not stable.
No,
the economy is in a shambles. Let's just start there before we talk about the SAPs, the criminal justice sector, key parts of the state-owned enterprises like Eskom, et cetera, et cetera. But if we start with the economy, because ultimately if we don't fix the economy, I think we can agree our democracy will never realize its full potential. When you say we've stabilized the South African economy, we can go into the details, but quite frankly, that statement is absurd. We both know it.
No, Eusebius, I think we are in the studio, so let me not become what Ndaweni Mahlangu said about politicians. I said we seek to stabilize a wrecked economy, and we are on the path of doing that. And I mentioned those practical examples that I've actually mentioned to say that we're on the path of doing so. But you see, the wrecked economy is both a subjective and objective factors. Where we could not move faster to deal with issues of stabilization, for instance, of Eskom, it has affected our economy negatively. And that is why immediately we moved in. As much as people can criticize, to stabilize Eskom, get rid of mismanagement, which later on will reap the fruits of good governance, but at the same time, a well-functioning machinery with a clear vision in terms of stabilizing our energy sector in that sense. So we have moved in that particular direction, but we cannot say that at the present moment the economy is stable. I've spoke about the
criminal. You agree it's not?
Yes.
You agree it's not, right?
It's not.
Can we also agree that Eskom is not on the mend?
Eskom is on the mend from the point of view of intervention that we have made in terms of moving with speed in bringing about changes with the aim of bringing about stability. We brought in Jabu Mabuza. We brought in the new CEO. And with a clear vision of ensuring that there is stability, because you know the yesteryears of the Guptas. We know the yesteryears of Brian Molefe's and Coco Matsela's. What has actually brought about friction, altercation, factions, and all of that.
You see, there's I think
brought a whole lot of mismanagement.
As two adults,
yes,
we mustn't condescend each other. You know what the debt book of Eskom looks like. You know how far behind in terms of targets the power stations are that were meant by now to have already produced energy for us. And we know part of the reason why they are behind with the different targets in terms of scheduling. And ultimately, it's got to do with looting and the hollowing out of Eskom. You know that we were all shocked as a country, probably you too as a politician, by the blackout suddenly. And just as Praveen tells us, now things are sharp and ships off some journalists to try and hoodwink them, put on special boots and come and have a look at a power station using soft power that hopefully will get reported on nicely. And then suddenly a couple of days ago, we are told winter is coming. Eskom does not offer us energy security. There's energy insecurity in South Africa as we speak, and there isn't even a guarantee, despite what Praveen said, that the lights will be on throughout winter.
Who else would have taken you into confidence about the difficulties of Eskom other than the president in the State of the Nation?
It's not an achievement.
No, it is not an achievement. He did take the nation into confidence. And he even used the word, Eskom is in crisis. He then said, it requires bold decisions. And he even put proposals to say that we need an equity partner, among others, unbundling of Eskom. Who got the flag about that? From the partners. The unions said this is a disguised privatization. Whereas we came back and the president explained that this is not disguised privatization. We need unbundling in order to address some of the hiccups we're faced with in Eskom.
It's more than a hiccup. It's a series of crises that is of the ANC state's making.
It is. And he said that if ever we don't move in this direction, this thing is going to collapse.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Now, here's the problem, Fikile. The diagnostic analysis of how we got there. I mean, firstly, this idea that the president deserves at least some modicum of praise for being frank in the State of the Nation address, that's absolute balderdash. Yeah. The whole point of a SONA, at least in theory, doesn't happen the world over, but in theory, is that you should give an honest account of what had happened in the previous 12 years in the state, right? Mm. And so when the president says, I acknowledge that Eskom is facing heady days ahead. Yeah, he did acknowledge it. But if I say to you right now, I acknowledge that I beat up my wife and I'm ready to have remedial action taken against me, I'm not so sure we should go, bravo, this man is being honest.
No.
Why are you beating up your wife? No. Why are you mismanaging the state?
The point about beating up your wife is to be accountable and accept whatever that will come your way as a result of showing remorse and accepting. The president did not only say, I end up by showing remorse and giving you this. He even went further to put practical steps of what needs to happen, among others, which those have been probed and been undertaken as we speak. And in the middle of that, we are faced with load shedding, which we are basically addressing through the ministry's consent and so on. But where we are, we are the first to explain to the nation that, look, our power station are not functioning optimally and there is a crisis out there that need to be fixed.
I want to take a break, and then I want to give the public a chance. But I want to ask you a big picture question, if I may. You know, we can talk about very particular parts of the state, whether it's Eskom, whether it's SAA, whether it's job creation, etc. But when we cut through very particular parts of the state and we ask about the state of the nation, I wonder whether you honestly think, and a politician is a politician is a politician, but I'm going to take my chances on you. Given how central the ANC is in the weaknesses of the state, including the criminality that we've seen that we now hear about in front of the Zondo Commission, the Gupta leaks, etc., do you think, Fikile, honestly between you and me, that the ANC deserves to be returned to power? Deserves. Now, would you like to? Do you think you deserve it?
Any other government in the state suffers from what is called sins of incumbency. You can be in power or anyone can replace the ANC. There will always be a question that beckons sins of incumbency. The past years have been good and the bad. And too much emphasis on the bad might outweigh the good. And in the bad is the things that you emphasize. But there's been the good in the past 25 years. That makes the ANC to even deserve more to actually remain in power, because it's a movement that is self-correcting. And that self-correction is not something we promised in the distant horizon. It's what we're working on as we speak.
In the bad column, there's the Republic of Gupta, there's state capture. In the good column, what would you put? List for me your proudest achievements. If this election was a referendum on 25 years of ANC governance, what would be for you the most important things in the plus column?
In the good, it is education. It is social security net. It is an advancement in terms of longevity of life and changing practically the lives of the people for the better. It is bringing about stability in the state organs in order to affirm the rule of law.
Okay. Okay. 21 minutes after 10 o'clock, you can have your say. What questions or issues do you think are the most important for us to engage the ANC on? 011-883-0702. You can also tweet us. Use the hashtag Mbalula with Eusebius. And it's over to you on the other side of this.
Eusebius McKaiser on 702.
Call Eusebius on 011-883-0702.
24 minutes after 10 o'clock, and it's hashtag Mbalula with Eusebius. I'll pick up some of your questions from Twitter. Are you happy to engage the public?
Yes, no, I'm happy.
Okay, let's take a couple of random calls. Lerato, good morning.
Hi, Sue. How are you?
We're very good, Lerato. Go straight ahead. What is your question or your comment?
It's a question to Mr. Mbalula.
Yes, Mama.
Prior to 1994, there was hope for black South Africans such as myself.
Mm.
But the youth of this country right now, we are very poor. We are excluded from resources because they are reserved for sons of the president or the privileges, such as Andile Ramaphosa or Duduzane Zuma.
Mm.
I think from where I'm sitting right now, as a young person of this country, the ANC has been incapable of turning itself around for 24 years. So, Mr. Mbalula, as a young person whom my parents have voted for 24 years without any change, why must I vote for you when you cannot even keep my light on for more than 24 hours without interruption?
Okay, thank you, Lerato. Brett, good morning to you.
Yes, I want to know how an organization that's self-correcting still has a dubious character like Ace Magashula in one of the most powerful positions in the ANC. Self-correcting, he's obviously one of Zuma's faction. How can he still be that powerful and you are transforming? Are you proud to have Ace Magashula as your Secretary General? Because if you're proud of that, you lose my vote.
Okay, let's start there with those two questions. You don't need me. The public will ask you all the pertinent young questions. Shall we start firstly with which one you want? Lerato's question. After 24 years, you can't even keep her lights on. Why must she give you another chance?
Well,
and you need to... the other thing she said was really two questions. The other one was, it seems like one needs to be the family member of a prominent family to be able to get ahead in this country.
Well, let me first start with Lerato and explain that this country have produced the fastest, bigger middle strata, which others characterize as middle class. Now, I don't know of a middle class because class is defined against the means of production. So there is no middle class. It's a strata. Black professionals, what others call black diamonds, and which have been produced as a result of the efforts of the democratic state. And yes, there are challenges in terms of transformation. You talk about asset managers who are black. For the first time in this country, we've been able to produce actuaries who are actually black. It has been predominantly white and privileged society, in a sense, which has been transforming, and there's been change in regard to that. Now, the issue of a privilege of making business because of proximity must be condemned. Andile Ramaphosa, we have never known about him up until now, when his father became a president. And we have known about Duduzane and the Guptas and all of that. Of course, that has got all ramifications. But I presume that Andile Ramaphosa, among others, has been in business in his own right over the years. And all other youngsters could be in business in their own right. But they must not use the fact of family ties to accrue businesses to the point where it is questionable.
But the point is that they do, and they do so because their parents are senior members of the African National Congress, and therefore at the level of organization, you are responsible for failing to nip this in the bud. You call it sense of incumbency. I prefer plain English. I don't like your complicated English. I call it looting.
Eusebius, the ANC as a party does not condone looting and corruption. And in this particular instance, where individuals have acted in their own right because of family ties. We are in the Zondo Commission, among others, to probe that. And in this particular instance, we need to get rid of that. And that is what is important.
Okay. Brett's question. Ace Magashule, is he the gold standard of the new dawn?
No, he is the Secretary General of the ANC. And a book has been produced about him. What I know is that books have been produced before about individuals. And those individuals are still leaders because those allegations that have been brought against them have not been tested. You remember the book by Fiona Forde. And then we've had books and we have now Gangster and all of that. I've not read the book. But it speaks about all the other things in summary in the newspapers that are horrible, which in any event cannot only be explained through a book, but must be tested in a court of law at the end of the day.
I don't think that's good enough.
It might not be good enough with you, but we are a law society. And
we are more than that.
We are, because...
Well, presumably, Fakila, you want me to explain why I don't think it's good enough.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And I'll even be nice. I'll tell you why it's not good enough. Then
okay.
I'll give you 2 minutes to think about my comment while Rafilwe tells us the news headlines.
Okay.
And then you can respond. The reason it's not good enough is that law matters and so do ethics.
Mm.
And what political parties do, and you're not the only ones, is you play this game with us, the public, and it's about time we speak back to you about your obsession with law.
Mm.
You actually have the right, in law, funny enough, to have political values and ethical values that you use as the basis for deciding which leaders are good enough to be on a leadership structure and whether you want to condemn them or not. So my question to you is, can you answer Brett more honestly? Ace Magashule, not in terms of the law, he hasn't been found guilty of anything, but in terms of the values of the ANC, can you tell the country right now whether Ace Magashule, in your opinion, as ANC election said, whether he represents the ANC's most cherished values? That's the question I want you to answer in a minute or two.
Okay. 702.
Eusebius is on Twitter at Eusebius.
25 minutes before 11. We've hardly started and we're going to run out of time. We are hanging out this hour with the ANC's election head, Mr. Mbalula. And if you want to tell me what questions to ask him, you can either call in or you can also just use Twitter. Use the hashtag Mbalula with Eusebius. I'll pick up not all of your questions, but I'm just scanning my timeline to see what are the dominant themes so that in the time remaining, I can get to those. Ace Magashule, does he embody the ANC's values? Is he an example of ethical leadership? Not someone who hasn't been found guilty in a court of law. I think that sets the bar too low. Is he ethically someone that you are proud of?
Eusebius, I'm not the person to make that determination about the Secretary General of the ANC. We have put the checks and balances as the movement of people who can make such determination, which is the Integrity Commission, and which at all times will pull us and make a determination about whether or not we are passing the test of ethical conduct and leadership. And I think you're putting me on the spot.
Of course I am. because it's a critical question for the public.
The reason is that Brett wants to know how serious renewal is taken.
If you say you are serious about renewal, then we have to test you.
He will be subjected to the test of integrity and ethical conduct through the Integrity Commission. He cannot escape that, either through tested or untested rumors that are actually made about the book and all the other things that are said before the Zondo Commission.
Cyril Ramaphosa, does he embody the values of the ANC?
Well, Cyril Ramaphosa is an individual, and as a president of the organization, there is nothing that has actually come up that seeks to suggest otherwise.
Does he embody ethical leadership?
From the point of him...
In your opinion?
In the opinion of... everybody and those we elected him as president There is nothing that seek to suggest otherwise.
Now, I'm not asking, I'm asking you straight. I've never heard you so shy in my life.
No, I'm not
shy. I've observed you as a politician since I started in media. Yeah. You are uncharacteristically shy.
Yeah.
Simple question. Usoro, your most important leader right at the top and our country's president, does he embody ethical leadership?
He does.
Okay.
It does.
Okay. So it's not that difficult to have an opinion outside of the Integrity Commission. Now let's go back to Ace. Does he?
There is no difficulty because there is nothing that...
So how about Ace then?
Ace, it has to go through that particular process because there's many things that have been said through a book or otherwise that need to be tested.
Can I quote you?
Yes.
Who did you have the following to say about? I'm changing the subject. Trampi is a definite no, no, no. The man will finish what is remaining of our movement. Trampi will kill it. Who was Trampi in that tweet?
No, we were debating the issue of ANC leadership towards the conference.
So who are you referring to there?
There. I was referring to Ace Magashule.
So when you said that the man is a definite no, 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 he will finish what is remaining of the movement, what did you mean by that?
Well, I was opposed to him at that time as becoming Secretary General of the ANC.
What evidence do you have that that tweet is now no longer a true statement? Was your tweet false?
Well, my tweet itself needed to undergo a rigorous process of engagement in the ANC to those I was speaking to who admired him and wanted to make him Secretary General. And so prior conference, we scrutinize leadership. We make our opinion known about individual. Those opinions could be right or wrong. And it is a subject of history.
The journalists are looking for a news headline. So I'm going to ask you this question then, given that you are dithering about that tweet. Do you now, as we sit here, repudiate and regret that tweet?
No, Eusebius, it is a critical tweet about an individual.
And based on evidence?
Based on my own knowledge and engagement with Ace since I've known him in the UDF and also in the ANC.
So can I have your permission as a citizen to believe your tweet?
Well, as a citizen...
Can I believe your tweet?
It is your own independent analysis. As a ANC member, I respect the fact that he's my Secretary General now.
No, no, no. I know you do because you've got internal things where you've got to respect all sorts of titles.
Yeah.
But I want to know...
Not titles.
I want to know how much I can trust what you tweet, whether your tweet is your true word or whether your tweet should never be taken seriously. You said Ace Magashule is a definite no, no, no. Can I, as a citizen, take your tweet as a serious judgment or is your tweet mischief?
My tweet was not mischief.
So it's true. It was an honest tweet.
My tweet was a political engagement.
Was it an honest tweet? Is it no?
It was a harsh, critical tweet about a leader of the ANC who was contesting an important position.
So if Mr. Magashule is listening now to the show, can he look forward to you tweeting at 1 minute after 11 when you've left the building, Ace Magashule is a yes, yes, yes?
No, that, is not something that will be entertained because conferences have come and gone, leaders have been elected. So Magashule can prove my tweet wrong.
As they say on the streets of Twitter, I'm covered with that one. Let's move, because here's the thing. This is not a court of law. We're just having a chat.
Yes.
But you know that the public are not idiots. They can see what is going on in the subtext of our dialogue here. Mm. Let's move to the list conversation, right?
Mm.
So the mechanism that's now been outlined is a little bit complicated for all of us to understand. The Integrity Commission doesn't really have teeth because whatever judgment call it makes, in the very small window of opportunity you guys have given it to make a judgment call about the list, that opinion, collective opinion, that George and his friends will come up with, that needs to go back to the NEC. So how are you going to deal with the constitutional delinquents that are on there?
The terms of reference of the Integrity Commission have been reviewed and the NEC will pronounce on them. The terms of reference of the Integrity Commission have been reviewed and discussed by the NEC, and they will be finalized soon. It's just that we're held up with the election. But the conference have given them powers, even though in the debate towards conference, we wanted the Integrity Commission, its powers to be defined in the Constitution. The conference could not. But there is a resolution that gives powers to them to take decisions without fear or favor. The terms of reference define where are those decisions located and how they should act on an individual or any sort of allegations that are made.
I can retrieve the audio, but I think you'll trust my judgment on what George, the chair, had said on the Karima Brown show about a week back. And the chair of the committee said, "I don't have the power," he said. "It will be up to the NEC to make pronouncements based on what we say about individuals' characters and whether they're desirable or not." In other words, ultimately, the power is going to lie with the NEC.
We are reviewing that, like I explained to you. The terms of reference are not finalized yet. The terms of reference, which were in a draft form processed, were actually saying that even before you appear before the Integrity Commission, it should be by desire of the NEC or the NWC. And in the reviewed ones that have been discussed, the general consensus is that it shouldn't be like that. They should act, and act informed and decisively and rigorously on individuals without being interfered.
I respect the fact that there's a limit to how much you can share with me what that process will look like. But at least in terms of a timeline, that review process, will it be completed so quickly that the Integrity Commission will have teeth before May 8th, so that the people listening to this conversation between you and me can have some guarantee that the likes of Batabile Dlamini may well be kicked off the list?
The Integrity Commission will exercise, in terms of its powers, whatever decisions it come to, it's not a limited time frame. So it doesn't matter if the Integrity Commission, even after the elections, because we are 29 days now, come to a conclusion that so-and-so does not pass the test and cannot represent the NC, that decision will be taken.
But there's a difficulty for you there in terms of process.
No,
the process is that you need to convince the public, especially the people who are not married to the ANC, not married to the EFF, not married to the DA, especially floating voters, particularly in provinces like Gauteng, which is really interesting electorally after 2016. The difficulty is that some people will trust your word, some people won't. And so if you effectively say, and tell me how I'm misunderstanding you factually, if you basically saying, "Trust me, guy, even if some of these names are there on the list on May 8th, by June 16th, these people will be gone." That's an enormous amount of trust you ask the voters to have when there's so much evidence of non-renewal. The best way to demonstrate that you are serious to give the Integrity Commission teeth is if you come next week and one of the major news stories in the next week is the likes of Malusi gone, Batabile gone. Then you are demonstrating seriousness. But telling us, "Vote now, we'll be serious after May the 8th,
No, it is not like that, Eusebius, that you'll be serious. It is to subject everything to a process. Because we are a litigation-prone society, and people know their rights. And we get to be taken to court every day. And our decisions overturned. The Electoral Commission have just decided today that there is nothing wrong about the ANC list and rejected all those objections and put them aside. Now that is our body. And the list of the ANC have gone through that test. You are asking me that in the ANC we must short circuit and decide by being convenient because we want the vote desperately. The ANC must do what it's supposed to do based on its processes, and the electorate will respect the ANC for being true to its word that, yes, the NEC took everything to the Integrity Commission. The Integrity Commission, therefore, must do its job without fear and favor and tell the NEC that so-and-so must step aside. And then we cross that bridge when we get there.
Earlier in our conversation, you mentioned the importance of the principle of legality or the rule of law, which means that what the courts say matter. And I wonder whether that commitment to what the courts say is a commitment to take what the courts say seriously, that you apply consistently. And what I mean by that is, do I need to remind you what the courts have said about Batebile Dlamini? So if we want to take constitutional supremacy seriously, and if one reason that so many spin doctors of the ANC give for why the likes of ACE can't just be thrown aside because they haven't been found guilty in a court of law, well, how do you have people on the list about whom the courts, the same courts that you say must be respected, have been unequivocal in how they have been anti-poor, they've trampled on the constitution, and they're on your list? Where's the consistency?
The consistency comes with addressing the law and the issues of integrity. And the issues of integrity are subjected to a particular process, which the ANC from the onset have committed to it, not only committed, outlined when the list started, that we will vet people looking for criminality, but issues that hinges on integrity will be subjected to the Integrity Commission. The Integrity Commission will be given powers. In fact, it has got those powers. It will be having clear terms of reference to deal with those issues. And yesterday I was asked a question. Can you take somebody out of the list, even though they are in parliament already and so on, after the 8th and so on? Yes, that I can give you my word, there will be. Because everybody understood and agreed in the National Executive Committee that this is the process to follow.
702.
SMS Eusebius on 31702.
Nine minutes left of this conversation. Sadly, so much to get through, but we appreciate it. Obviously, lots of media and the public, most importantly, voters, wanting to engage all political parties. So thanks to Fikile Mbalula for being here. Let's take a final round of questions from the public, Fikile. Mark, you've been holding on. Thank you for your patience. What is your question?
More some comments and questions. If I run my own company, and if I got a bad service supplier, which after five times appointing them and 25 years, they're still screwing up, I fire them. That's the first thing. The second thing is the destruction of the economy. When ANC took over, our GDP debt to GDP ratio was 20%. We're approaching 60. The last 10 years, particularly 40%. We were 5 or 6 levels above junk status. We are not just hovering above junk because of the ANC. The president who was responsible for that, Jacob Zuma, Fikile Mbalula, himself voted him in, and they never voted against, no confidence against Jacob Zuma. Accountability, what Brett asked earlier, you took the wind out of my sails a little bit with Mambula, Batabili, Banlusi, who are all being found wanting in front of the court of law, Moza Benziswani, on the same list in the top 10.
I get the thrust of your analysis, Mark. Do you have a question?
Yes. My question is regarding the stability. What stability is he talking about and the rule of law when the NPA is a shambles, SARS is a shambles, he himself was police minister is a shambles, the rule of law, we don't have a rule of law.
Okay, we're going to leave it there, Mark. I think we get the thrust of your analysis, right? And at some point, you're going to have to disagree with a politician. I think a lot of what you say, in my opinion, is compelling, but it's a very broad sweep. I think you're just expressing your sentiment. To me, good morning.
Hello?
Go ahead, Tumi. Get straight to the point for me.
Yes, Eusebius, I've been holding on for a very long time.
I apologize for the popular show.
Okay. ANC has committed so many errors, and when you think about such errors, you don't know what to do. But let me tell you, some of us who are not members of any political party, we are going to vote for Cyril Ramaphosa. We are not going to vote for ANC as such, but we are going to vote for Cyril Ramaphosa. I've taken that decision.
Okay.
And I've realized...
What is your question to me?
Okay. Can I finish this?
We've got to run out of time. Just tell me your question, Baba.
Oh, my God. But all I wanted to say is that there is no alternative in South African politics.
Okay, that's fine. We've got a nice question from the backbencher there in Hammanskraal. Dingaan, do you have a question, a pointed question?
As an ANC voter who will vote ANC on the 8th of May, Comrade Mbalula, when you look at our current list that we sent into Parliament, can you look me straight and tell me that this is our best and finest? That's the first part. Secondly, you spoke about continuity. Now, isn't this not disingenuous to have the same people who failed our people in the same list? Why can't you have what you refer to as generational mix? Why can't you have new blood, new ideas, and renew from a leadership? And then downwards, this change will permeate. Because for now, you're just rewarding people who are constitutional delinquents, people who have failed our people, people who are corrupt, who have been proven to be corrupt. I hear you saying about the rule of law and ethics, but some of those people at least do not pass the simple smell test. And if you continue this trajectory, comrade, I assure you, you are going to lose your voters. In the words of Poppy from Tembisa, it's on coastal land.
So, you know, we could have an entire one-hour discussion about each part of the state. This is not the space. That's why we're talking about the state of the nation, really, in this conversation, right? So it's a very broad conversation. But I want to honor what Brett is saying. Brett, I didn't mean to, to be harsh. I mean, in fact, and I agree with your sentiment there. The truth of the matter is that your opening remarks, when I asked you to give a broad argument for why one should vote ANC, is that if we were to go through each part of the state, it would be very difficult to sustain such an optimistic view, because even the justice cluster that you know so intimately, it's got a long way to go. Shamile Batoi is only coming to terms now with the reality of her challenges. The battles inside the SAPs continue. The Hawks, the battles continue. IPET and its oversight role, there are interesting battles there, and backbenchers in Parliament did some really weird things in terms of not understanding the importance of protecting IPET from all sorts of nefarious political influences, depending on what the minister and the executive wants. What do you say to Mark, who is sincerely concerned that there are large chunks of the state that is in serious disrepair?
Let me say this to Mark, that he says that we have not acted. We have acted, and we are on the mend. And I want to remind him again. When I arrived in the police, crime intelligence had no boss. When I left, Jacobs is the boss. For how many years? Over 9 years, you had Mdluli on leave, whatever you can call it. When I arrived in the police, there was no police commissioner. And then we brought Sithole as the new police commissioner to bring stability. When we arrived in the police, we fired Ntlemeza, who was a rogue element running down the Hawks. We fired him. And today you've got Libenya. When we left, President Ramaphosa appointed Batoi as the new prosecutor because there were issues out there about the then prosecutor. And this happened just in less than 6 months. And the stability will be defined by the actions those individuals put in those positions of responsibility. Robert McBride and issues of IPET and so on are matters that belong to the minister, which is handling them and decided on what he has decided. And it is up to him to decide whether he takes the nation on confidence on why he acted in the manner in which he did. But there is no reason to doubt a stability going forward, because these individuals have been brought in. The issue of the generational mix is important.
Before we get there, on the justice cluster and going forward, right, you keep playing it forward. And I want to look back, because I can only work with facts that have been established. Because if I want to understand what the chances are of you as an individual or an organization being committed and having odds in your favor to do what you promised to do, the only way I can test it is to say, what have you promised in the past and how well have you actually done? So if we take this idea of going after the looters, for example, how many high-profile politicians so far have been found guilty for state looting?
High-profile politicians, where are the Guptas today?
Not in jail.
Where are they?
Are they in jail?
They are not in jail. Where are they?
You must tell me. You've got friends who are friends with them.
No, they are in Dubai.
How many are in jail?
The people who are supposed to be in jail in terms of the state capture, that in terms of the state and the reports we've got is being processed. But the Guptas ran away from this country.
No, no, I get that.
Because how many people of have been actions jailed? That have been taken.
How many people have been jailed for state capture?
Nobody has actually been jailed for state capture, except the provisionally withdrawn case in terms of the dairy farm of the Free State, which is not totally withdrawn. I'm confident that that case will come back. And if the police and the state work together in terms of the new appointed people and it is refurbished, as that is what we want, the word we can use, all criminals and fraudsters and corrupt people will be brought to book.
Fakela, you're answering a question I didn't ask. It's a one word question. How many people are in jail?
There is nobody who is in jail.
Can I offer you a number? Zero?
No, it is zero. You are correct, Eusebius. But it does not mean that the wheels of law are not grinding. They are. And I am very much confident about that. Mm. And that's why I ask you about the Guptas. Why are they not coming to South Africa? It is not out of willingly that they left. They ran away from the state and to come and answer, including at the Zondo Commission.
They did more than that. They ran away after a decade plus of hollowing out the state with the help of Jacob Zuma.
It is not easy to arrest anybody in the Republic.
The legacy of the Guptas is exactly why we're in trouble.
It is not easy, Eusebius, to just pounce on any individual like that. You need efficiency. You need the state to be fully functional and to bring case before the courts that are winnable. And you bring people to book. And I've got confidence, as the president would have led, that this individual's time is numbered.
I wish the people in Alex could ease confidence. Fakela, you're good. Thank you so much for coming, and I really do appreciate your time, and I appreciate you coming on, which is a lesson to other politicians as well. Completely unscripted conversation as well. Thanks so much. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.